Hello, friends. Welcome to the Viva Life Show with your brand new host, me, Josh Boulding. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it? But I'm going to make it work. And I'm so excited to be behind the mic today, man. This has been a little while in the making. Tori and I have been having some discussions over the past couple of weeks because she has had an amazing career opportunity come up. And I'm going to be the last person to stand in her way. She has been a phenomenal colleague for us in the past couple years. She's done amazing things for this podcast, but above all that, she is a best friend first and foremost, and I did not want to stand in her way of taking this new chapter in her life. And during that time, it's come at a real synergistic time for me because I've been feeling a real calling in myself to get myself out there more, to allow my message to be heard, and to serve people in a higher way than I have been up until this point. A lot of that has come as a result of everything that's happening in the world right now, and more people telling me that my message needs to be heard, and I've listened. And whilst I've never been one to be under the spotlight, I'm much more comfortable being behind the scenes. I am also the first person that will tell you to get out of your comfort zone, to try new things, to push yourself, to eradicate your limiting beliefs. And how can I say those words if I'm not applying them to my everyday life? Which is why I am going to be the most fantastic podcast host you've ever heard. And I really want to use this platform to, first of all, connect deeper with you guys, to let you know what's going on in my world, in the world of Vivo, to keep you updated, and also to shine a light on some of the biggest light givers in my life, the people that inspire me, the people that cause me to think differently, the people that motivate me, the people that I think have stories to share. And I'm not going to base this on people's following or number of Instagram subscribers or the usual metrics that people use to define influence. I want to use this platform to make people's voices heard that may not usually be heard. I have some really, really amazing guests lined up for future episodes, including one dropping in a couple of days with a really close friend of mine. And we're going to be having some of the Vivo team on. Of course, we're going to have our ambassadors on and experts in their field. But I want to really use this as a platform for people to share their message. And especially during the time that we're in right now, I think having a platform where people can express their knowledge and their intuition and their heart as well. I don't want this to just be about facts and about opinions. I want this to be a place where people can speak from the heart. And that's one thing that I promise I will be doing in this podcast. So before I finish the intro, I want to give the biggest virtual high five, hug, thumbs up, fist bump, big up to my one and only Tori Ree, who's done amazing things with this podcast. I've got big shoes to fill, big heels, should I say, if she's getting her party gown on. But I am going to give it my very best shot, and I really hope this podcast and future podcast helps you guys. And in order for me to do that to the best of my ability, I need to get feedback. So once you've listened to this episode, please drop me an email, send us a DM on Instagram, let us know what you thought, if this podcast was helpful. I'm flying solo in this one because I want to get my thoughts off my chest and I want to say where I'm at right now. It's going to be a short one, but then in future, please engage, please let me know how I'm doing, let me know what you want to see more of, and let me know what guests you want to see on the show too, because we have an amazing community now and I want to give people the chance to be heard. So with that all said, let's move on to the subject of today's podcast. And I think you guys all know what I'm going to be talking about. Our reality has been flipped upside down in the past few weeks, and it's been a real, real shock to the system for all of us. And I have made a promise to myself that I'm not going to use this podcast as a chance to dwell on the current situation. Because it's consuming all of us, right? It's everywhere we turn. It's on social media. It's in the mainstream media. It's what people are talking about. I don't remember a conversation I've had in the past 2 weeks that hasn't somehow looped back to coronavirus. So I want to make this a safe space where we can also talk about other things that are going to help us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, during a time when we are going to be spending a lot more time by ourselves, a lot more time slowing down, and I think we can use this time really valuably. So let's get to it. I was actually in America when things started to hit the fan. I was actually a bit of an interesting story because I had my bag stolen the first week I was in America. We were supposed to be in America for a trade show. My bag was stolen, and my passport was in it. And obviously, not really knowing what was going on, we'd started to hear murmurs out of China, and there was some things going on in Italy at that time. But we didn't know, none of us knew how serious it would be and how quickly. And I was in, my bag was stolen, and I went to the embassy and said, right, I need to get a new passport because my passport was in there. And they said, yeah, it's absolutely fine. It will be ready in 2 to 3 weeks. And that was absolutely fine because I had every intention to stay there for a month. We had trade shows to do. We had meetups with customers. I had people that I needed to visit. We had lots planned. And it just so happened that week, the event that we had planned, which was Expo West, the biggest trade show in America, got cancelled. So that's when we first started to realize that things were starting to change and that the reality that we knew was starting to shift. But things still hadn't really kicked off. So the next week, I actually took a holiday. It was my first full holiday in a long time. Bear with me one moment. I'm gonna turn the sound down on that fridge because the fridge has just started to make a massive racket just as I start recording. There we go. So I decided to take a holiday. It was my first week's holiday in quite a while. And we decided that we were going to go to Joshua Tree National Park. And it was beautiful. It was incredible. It was everything I wanted it to be. The nature was absolutely stunning. We did loads of hikes and just spending time out in nature. But of course, being there, we were pretty disconnected from technology and we didn't really know what was going on. I then, from Joshua Tree, went on to a yoga retreat, a yoga and writing retreat, actually, in San Luis Obispo. So I drove down there. And again, when I was there, I actually had no Wi-Fi at all. We were checking in maybe for a half an hour to an hour a day, with if we needed it. But apart from that, we had no real Wi-Fi. So I didn't really know the severity of the situation. And it was only when I came back into LA that I realized, wow, like things are really, really kicking off. The supermarkets were bare. There was a lot of fear and anxiety. And it really got to me because I feel like the collective energy of the place that I'm in. And when I was around so many fearful and anxious and quite frankly, upset people, it really got to me. And I had a really low day on Sunday. It also happened that my good friends and colleagues who were out there had all booked a flight to go home on Sunday because they were being told that they should go home and I couldn't stay out and I should get a flight too, but I didn't have a passport. So on that Sunday, I waved goodbye to my closest friends and colleagues and everything, and it all got a bit too much. So I was in the airport. I broke down. I was really, really upset. And a woman out of nowhere came up to me, and this is in a place where people are wearing gloves and face masks and people are freaking out. And she came up to me and just out of nowhere just gave me a hug and just said, look, it's going to be okay. It will be absolutely fine. And she was just there, and it was just this moment of kindness that just cut through all of the fear that was there. It was this moment of, I see you. I'm not afraid. She gave me a hug. She embraced me. And it was this real reminder to me of human kindness and how it cuts through all of the fear and anxiety that we're experiencing. But anyway, I then went to the embassy and said, right, I need to get this passport sorted so I can get home. They got me a new passport, an emergency passport. I got that sorted and I managed to get back. So I'm now safe and well. Everything's okay. And I'm now trying to blend that balance between being socially responsible, doing the right thing, and also not living in fear, because all of our lives are going to have changed massively. We have to follow the latest expert advice, which is to stay at home and to try and minimize the amount of times we go out and go into social situations. However, there is a fine line between being aware of that and living completely in fear. And that's one thing that I am determined not to do, because I know that fear does not serve me in any way, and it is just going to cause me to make irrational decisions and not to make the most of my time. And also, like, on a physiological level, being fearful suppresses our immune system. It literally shuts our immune system down and causes it to work less and effectively. So if we're going out and we're meeting people with fear, with suspicion, if we're scared to, you know, to do usual day-to-day activities, which there's a lot that we can't do, by the way, and again, we do have to follow expert advice, but if these inevitable situations, like going to the supermarket, if these things fill us with fear, then we are actually putting ourselves in a much worse position. So I'm striking that balance between being socially responsible and not being fearful. So let's we'll talk about the elephant in the room. Coronavirus is going to mean that our lives change significantly. We are all going to be spending a lot of time indoors, and we are going to be spending time away from people that we love and that we care about. However, I think that we can use this time effectively, and we can use this time in a really positive way. To quote Tony Robbins, I believe this is happening for us and not to us. It is a horrendous, horrendous disaster. It's scary, and there are a lot of people at risk, but the greater impact of this could be so much more beneficial and so much brighter than we ever imagined. So here are some of the good things that could come out of it. So the first is that we realize how interconnected we are. We realize how much we need each other, how much we have created this illusion of being in a bit of a bubble, really, of thinking that, you know, if we're digitally connected, if we can see people on Instagram, if we can WhatsApp people, then we're going to be absolutely fine. The reality is that is not the case. And as humans, we need other humans to be happy, to be healthy. And I think we've created this illusion where we thought that was not possible. And what this situation has done is we've realized it really does matter, and we need each other. And I am seeing, in the day-to-day interactions I'm having, like this one with the woman who was at the airport, with the interactions with my friends, with things dropping through people's letterbox saying we're here for you, with people volunteering, with the supermarket workers, with the NHS workers, with everyone kind of really pulling together and giving their best, people are realizing that we need each other and we're in this together. So my first wish for coronavirus is that it brings people closer together, and it makes us realize our dependence on each other. It makes us realize our humanity, and it makes us realize what matters, because it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day shit that fills our head that we think is important. The day-to-day tasks that we set ourselves, the to-do list, the endless productivity, the endless busyness. And look, I hold my hands up, I'm guilty of it too. But this is a trap. This is stuff that is not fulfilling us. It's not contributing to making society better in any way. And I think we need to realize collectively that a lot of the stuff that we think is important is not important, right? Updating your social media daily and letting everyone know everything that's going on in your life is not important. Going to the stores so you can have the latest iPhone when it launches is not important. Being seen at every event and turning up at every club is not important. These things, in the grand scheme of things, do not matter one iota. And I think we can use this as a time of slowing down to realize that. To realize that what matters are our relationships, number one, the people in our lives, the interactions we have on a day-to-day basis, our connection with the planet, our connection with a higher purpose, our ability to serve each other. So this is a big one. And I think people are realizing that in this downtime where they're suddenly realizing, whoa, I've got more time on my hands than I ever have. How am I going to use it? And more people are being drawn to service. And I actually think this is a basic human need. I think humans, we cannot be happy or fulfilled unless we are serving others in some way. We have an innate drive to do it, and it's only when we slow our heads down and listen that we feel the urge to do it. And I've experienced this in my own life. I spent a lot of time, you know, really driving a lot of my energy into my business and into my personal life. But when that, when I was able to be less busy and slow down, I realized actually, when am I most happy and most fulfilled? Well, that's actually serving others. So I can, I'm very fortunate I can do that through my work, but I also now carve out time to do it. So whether that's random acts of kindness to people I love, my friends, or whether that's volunteering or however that looks, it's about making that a priority. And I think we're going to realize that that is a priority in our lives. We're also going to realize that the importance of actually having time to ourselves. And I think if we use this time correctly, we can really grow from it. We can stop putting our energy in the stuff that doesn't matter. And with this extra time, we can use it to go within, to meditate, to do some breath work, to go on a run in the countryside, if where you are permits that you do that, to draw, to paint, to make music, to listen to music, to just throw yourself into things that you haven't done before, but really allow you to connect with who you are. Because a lot of us, you know, we work jobs that are very fulfilling, but they do not capture the essence of who we are, and they do not sometimes allow us to express our creativity in the highest possible form. And I hope that if we can tune in and listen, then we can realize that we can actually use that in many, many ways. And I actually think that by slowing down, we're going to have a lot of new ideas come out of this time. If you look at the impact it has on our environment, if you look at now how our political, medical, social systems are all bearing the brunt of this illness, or this virus, should I say, I think we're now seeing that there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And what I want this to be is a time when we can all think about our role in the greater society and think about how can we bring a new generation of ideas to the forefront and to bring forward meaningful change. And by change, I don't mean the change that we've seen in the past 100 years, which has been the measure of success has been what's delivered economic value, what's grown the gross domestic product, or what's created new innovations. We now need to look at this as how can we create a system that is going to benefit everyone, not just a few people, that's going to work in harmony with our environment, and is not going to be judged, whose success is not going to be judged on how much money we're making or how many products we're making. Because I think we're now all realizing that that is not the definition of success. For me, if being in such an unknown situation right now, if I was to say what is success to me, I would say being with my family, being with the people I love, being able to make a difference in the world in a positive way, having meaningful relationships, being able to spend time in nature without having to you know, worry about actually, you know, infecting someone, or passing the virus on in any way, and being able to do those simple things. But it's also about contributing to the wider world and the greater good. So I think if we reframe what our definition of success is, then we can start to move forward. So what we're probably seeing now is that people realize that things need to change, and I hope this is going to be a chance for a new wave of ideas to come through. I think people also are realizing how reliant we've been on a broken system that could actually capitulate at any minute. So for example, I had this realization when I was in LA actually. So where I live back home, I live in a you know, a very small town, surrounded by like a lot of fields and a lot of farms where food is grown, so it's not so apparent. But when I was in LA, I was thinking, whoa, I'm in a city of 8 million people and no one's growing food. Like everything that we rely on, we go to the supermarket every day and we expect to be able to get organic raspberries from Chile, asparagus from Peru, avocados from Mexico, and tofu from Japan, for instance. That's a broken system, because all it's going to take is one thing like this, and don't get me wrong, like this is serious, but this could also be a much greater pandemic than it is, or it could be a meteor strike, or it could be whatever. It's made us realize that I was in the city of 8 million people and none of the food is grown here, so that is not a system that works. So I think people, if this is done correctly, people will realize that, well, I need to take more power into my own hands and rely on the system a little less. Where we are, we're not going to be able to go completely off grid overnight. However, can you start by growing your own herbs? Can you start by having a little vegetable patch? Can you start by being more self-sufficient in any way, if that's generating your own power? How many of us could say that if the power cut out in our home, you know, if the whole grid went down, we'd be okay? Do you know how to make a fire? Do you have, is there solar power? Do you have means of generating electricity that doesn't rely on the system? I'm not saying we all have to do that overnight, but these little things that we haven't really thought about before, I think, are now becoming apparent. It's making us realize that actually this big system that we're tapped into has many benefits, but we also need to take back some independence. And obviously that's going to come with a ton of environmental benefits too. So if we're growing our own food, not only are we creating security for ourselves, but we're creating security for the planet. We're sucking up carbon as we do it. We're reducing food miles, and we're getting more nutritious food as a result. So it becomes a win-win thing for everyone. So one thing I want to finish this podcast with, or a couple of things, is really what we can do with all this extra time and some tips for sort of coping in this time, because it is difficult and it is fearful. So one thing that has become clear to me, and I actually saw a graph on this the other day, is how much technology use has increased over the past week or 2 weeks. So we're now using more internet, more data, more consuming more technology than we ever have in the history of human existence. And I think that's to be expected because we're all at home. However, we need, and we're all calling loved ones, of course, but I think having some time away from technology as much as possible is going to help people, because it's, you know, whilst it does allow us to be connected, it also allows us to be very consumed by the fear and all of the negativity that's out there. So I would say if you could have a cut-off time for technology, say 5-6 p.m. in the evening, and you can actually stick to that, and you can use that the rest of the time to do stuff that is going to fill you up and is going to support you, because it's very easy to get caught up in the social media loop of seeing that everything's going on. But as long as you're taking the practical steps to, you know, to stay healthy, to stay distanced, then constantly consuming the negativity isn't going to benefit you. If something serious is happening, you will know. So set that cut off time and then use that time as your time. Think of it as a blessing and time that you would not have had for yourself otherwise. You might be commuting back from work, or you might be attending social events, or whatever it is. Like now you might be going to the gym. Now a lot of that stuff is gone. So let's look at this time as a blessing and think, okay, can I learn a new skill? Can I learn a new hobby? Can I further my career? Can I move forward with that startup, that idea I've had for years but never actually had the time to dedicate to it? Can I learn to meditate for the first time? Can I start to paint, or can I make music, or whatever it is? That thing that you've always known is within you but you haven't had the time or the headspace to dedicate to it, now's your chance. When are you going to get a better chance? Like, let's use this as an opportunity. And let's use it as a time where we really focus on bettering ourselves. And so when this is all over, which it will be, where we can come out the other side and bring these new talents into the world, but also with the knowing that we don't need to be running at a million miles an hour. We don't need to consume as much as we do. We don't need to do all the things that we do to be happy. I think if you ask most people right now, like what their ideal evening would be, I don't think it would be going out in a private yacht, flying to this country and having this amazing festival or party or anything like that. I think it would be spending time with my closest friends, having food together, hanging out, you know, going for a walk, going camping, doing whatever, like doing these simple things with your friends. I think that's what is most people are craving right now. So let's come out with the knowledge that that is the important stuff, and that's the stuff that we should be focusing on. If you are feeling fearful, know that you're not alone, and know that we are all entitled to have bad days. We are all going to have them. I've had my own. I've just shared that with you, and I will likely have more. So check in on your friends, make sure they're okay, because we don't know when the other people are going to be having a bad day. If you are feeling fearful, then first of all, be aware of it, and then just kind of just notice the feeling, and just notice where it is in your body. Notice how it's manifesting, and then ask yourself, is worrying about this or is being fearful going to help my situation right now? Can I release this fear in any way? Can I focus on stuff that is going to uplift me and positively support my life? Or am I just going to get caught into this loop of consumption of media and then fear, and then I consume more media because of the fear, and it becomes a big loop? Like, at some point we have to cut that off for the sake of our mental health. If you are looking to do some breathing exercises, I'd highly recommend Wim Hof breathing. But if you are not, if you don't want to try that out, simply taking 6 deep breaths. There's actually been a scientific study on this that came out of Japan that said six deep breaths. So fully in, and then fully out. Just 6 breaths like that. Like, can you already feel the energy difference in me? 6 deep breaths like that are enough to completely change your brain physiology. So if ever you catch yourself in that fear loop, just stop where you are, take those 6 deep breaths, and then just notice what's next. Because we always have a choice. We can't control what's happening in the world, but we can control our response to it, how we're reacting, and how we perceive things. So let's be sensible, let's be kind to each other, let's maintain good personal hygiene, and let's not put each other at risk if in any way possible. However, let's also be rational. Let's look at this time as an opportunity for growth and self-development. Let's look at it as a time to reprioritize and focus on what's important. So when we come out of it, things will look a lot different in the world. And that's my wish for coronavirus. I think it can happen. So that's where I'm going to leave it. I'm going to be back later this week with a very special guest. So I will talk to you more about it at that time. As always, if you need anything, you can contact us at any time. We're going to have some really cool stuff this week, starting with live breathwork, meditation, and a Q&A with me tomorrow. By the time you listen to this, it will be Wednesday, Wednesday the 25th of March. I'll be going live with that. We've got yoga, we've got home workouts, loads of stuff. I sent this all out in the newsletter, but if you didn't get it, then join our Facebook community and you can do all of this stuff, because we want to use this, you know, just as much as you, as a time to give back and a time to grow. So with these amazing events that we've got planned, I know it's going to really make a difference to you guys. So thanks so much for listening. I will catch you on the next one. Lots of love. Be safe. Tell someone you love them. If you haven't done it today, when you finish this podcast, give someone a call and tell them how important they are to you. Lots of love, fam. Speak to you soon.